The message tonight, Concealed for Glory. Concealed for Glory. Proverbs 25, verse number 2. Don't know if you remembered the text from this morning, if you took any time this afternoon to read it. But as I began to consider the text, I realized that it's such a profound thought tonight. And certainly a challenge to our simple minds. And something that I suppose we all struggle with, of trying to comprehend and understand the great things of God. And certainly we are limited, and we understand that. And God teaches us such. But let's notice, if you will, in Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good word of God, and we ask now, Lord, that you'd guide us by the great spirit of wisdom. We thank you, Lord, that you promised us in 1 John that if we're saved, that we have an anointing of the Spirit of God to teach us. And God, we come tonight and ask you now to lead us into all truth. Lord, that we might have a greater understanding of the great work and purposes of God. And Lord, that it might challenge our lives as we seek to live for you. And Lord, to follow in your perfect will. Lord, help us tonight. Teach us tonight. We'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Concealed for glory. The Christian life, by God's design, is a life of faith. I'm sure it's pondered your mind, as it has mine, and probably every Christian at some point. As God, why is this life that you require, why does it have to be a life of faith? We know that God could manifest and reveal everything so that there would be not a single doubt left in anyone's mind. God could come tonight if he chose to do so, and God could take us on a quick trip to hell and bring us back. God could open up the earth, and God could do many things. God could reveal himself in even a more greater way. God could speak to us tonight in an audible voice if he chose, couldn't he? God, listen, could confirm everything that he said with signs and wonders. And we could sit in church tonight, and every time we said amen, God could send a lightning bolt to confirm it. Some of y'all wouldn't be bad. But anyway, God has the power to do those things, doesn't he? Sure, there's nothing the Lord cannot do. But God doesn't choose to do all those things that sometimes in our mind we wonder why he doesn't. And so God has designed it this way. And one thing I do know about God that has been revealed, that if God designed it this way, then it was the right way and the perfect way. That it indeed was the best of ways in order to accomplish his purpose in our life. And so faith is not a handicap. Faith is an essential. Faith is not plan B, it's plan A. And so God has designed it. And we notice in our scripture, it is the glory of God to conceal it. That there are things that God has concealed. There are things that God has veiled from us, listen, for his glory and for our benefit. There are some things that I'm glad God has chosen to veil. I'm glad God doesn't come to us tonight and say, this is your life for the next 90 days. I'd rather just trust him for that, be honest with you. Because I know that in those 90 days, hopefully and prayerfully, there'll be some mountaintops, but also know this, there are going to be some valleys. Okay? I'd just soon not know about it. I'd rather just trust Him with it. And we're reminded that the Bible says in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means that God simply did not make everything completely, totally visible and all knowledge acceptable before our eyes and before our ears. And so God is glorified by hidden things. God is glorified by mysteries and things that are veiled. It is by this partial communication that divine wisdom makes the most suitable impression upon us for His glory. The Bible reads in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and He'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We know this, and we understand that a lot of this that God has veiled, that God has concealed, that God has hidden, would be beyond our understanding anyway. You and I cannot contain, we cannot wrap our minds around a timeless state. We cannot fully grasp and comprehend eternity. What was God doing before He created the world? I don't know. I don't have that understanding. And so there are depths that I cannot go. There are depths in which I cannot understand. And so we know that God's ways and God's thoughts are far higher than ours, and so God has veiled many things because we couldn't have understood it. Some things God has veiled because we couldn't have handled it. And there are many things that God has concealed. Listen, that actually makes a determination and a revelation of man's own heart. I want to give you a couple of simple things. God veils many things from man's knowledge, and one such is the character of His divine person. We understand the attributes and virtues, and yet much is veiled of the divine essence of God. We know that God, in order to give us comprehension, has given us an illustration of His mighty work and His mighty power by associating it with human life. Now, the Bible tells us that God's a spirit. The Bible tells us that God is everywhere present. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the third heaven, where Paul had ascended. The Bible tells us that God has made His abode in the heart of the Christian. And as you and I consider the essence of God's presence, it's beyond my comprehension. God has chosen even to reveal Himself by illustration of the human body. We have in the Scripture things like the finger of God. Now, that's something we relate to, right? The Bible tells us God's a spirit in John. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But yet we have references to the eye of the Lord and the finger of God. And so there's much about the essence of God Himself that remains a mystery to us. And so not all of it do we comprehend, nor has God revealed. The divine knowledge that God knows all things, the divine decree and purposes of God, and yet we have the human will, the divine presence, We understand that God is separate, that God is holy, that God is self-sufficient. And so there is much that is veiled concerning the very nature of God. And then we have also the mystery of divine providence. We know that God can do anything that He chooses to do. And we find, as we have studied to subdue the earth, we've discovered much of the many watts, but very little of the whys and the hows. We study God's creation, and we see the great mysteries of how God put in dumb creatures to do fascinating things. We know they do it. We don't know how they do it. I have seen and enjoyed, because I know the Creator and the Author, I've enjoyed much of the nature of things. I've had to disregard some of the comments made by the unbelievers in reference to those things, but I have watched the navigational skills of God's creatures. Isn't that amazing? We know they do it, but how in the world did they get such wisdom? How can they do it? I shared this with you a couple of years ago when Larry had the business up in Henderson. A man came in one day, and he was looking for some certain type of feed, and he had the homing pigeons. I was always curious about it, fascinated by that. And so he stopped to tell me. And boy, he has a world of knowledge, and I was ready to listen because I was interested. And he told me about it, and absolutely fascinating. And he said that he made a trip to Ohio. And he said he was in his old pickup, and he said he was racing along because he wanted to beat the birds back. Some of them got back before he could get back in his car. And they came to his house. They came to their little cage. They came to their home from a Hardee's restaurant in Ohio. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. And he told me, he said, if I take them to a place that they have been before, he said, as soon as I let them out, they head for home. He said, if I take them to a place they've never been to before, they will circle it several times before they start home. And he said, listen, they do it every time. And he said, I don't know what they're doing. They must be programming the Lord's GPS inside of them, and they'll circle around. And he said, I took them to a new place, and he said, they circled it, and it's kind of like they got it now. And so now they're headed home. And he said, if I take them back to that place, they won't circle it, but they'll head straight for home. Isn't that fascinating? You see, God has not revealed all of the mysteries of the glory of His wisdom in even the simple creatures. And listen, we've just touched the surface. We could talk for days and months and weeks about the miracles that God has put in mystery here concerning the great creation. And also, not only the creation, but also the divine providence of God. When God interrupts the normal course of human nature, and we know primarily we continue down a course, an ordinary realm in which nature, but once in a while, God chooses to interrupt it. And of course, the unbelieving world denies that interruption. Well, they deny God. The mysteries of sovereignty. But we do know this: God has revealed His eternal purposes. God has given man, listen, exactly what he needs to know. But He has not given him what he doesn't need to know. The mysteries, the things concealed, the things that are veiled from Him. I am thankful today that God has made it crystal clear that He has a great eternal purpose in all these things. The Bible says, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. We know that there is a divine purpose, and God has made that clear. And we rejoice tonight that God has made crystal clear how that a man can be reconciled unto God, how that he can be saved and redeemed, how that he can be forgiven, and how he can know eternal life. And God has made that abundantly clear through the Scriptures. And so we have in the divine providence of God those things that are revealed and very clear and things that are concealed. And God is glorified through that. And yet from a prophet down to every believer, we've all had to come and wrestle with divine providence when we ask God why. You hadn't been saved very long if you hadn't had that time in your prayer and meditation and talking with God that you haven't stopped to say, Lord, I don't understand. I know your eternal purpose, and I rejoice in it. But I don't see how this fits in with it. I know, Lord, you have promised and made clear that everything you do is for good to those who love God, called according to his purpose. Lord, I sure don't know how this fits into that plan. And so, we sometimes ask, as the prophet did, how can these things be? Matter of fact, Mary made the same statement. How can these things be? We studied Malachi. You remember when he was upset because, listen, God had allowed the nation of Israel to continue its road and hadn't done anything. The prophet's upset. God said, I'm going to do something. And he told him about how he was going to use that nation to do it, and then that made it just as bad. Lord, how in the world could you use that sorry lot of people to bring discipline upon your nation? How? How could you do that, Lord? Why? We struggle with divine sovereignty, divine providence of God. We live in a world where there's good and evil. God could eliminate evil, all of it, entirely tonight if he chose to do so. You realize God is allowing the devil to exist. God knew man would sin. God was not the author of it. God made provision. We live in a world where there's good and evil, there's judgment, and there's mercy. You and I rejoice in the mercy. God lets it rain on the house of those who are just and the unjust. There are times when God has showed great mercy to some and judgment to others. There are places where God blesses abundantly and places that surely have faced the severest of conditions for human life. And you know what? God hadn't chosen to reveal all the whys and the wherefores of all those things. God, even among his own people, God allowed Stephen to be taken out very early in his Christian life when he was martyred for his faith in Christ. But numerous times he occasioned Paul to escape from certain death at the hands of those who hated Christ. All in the providence of God. And you and I, we will struggle with what is concealed, the mystery of the divine permission. We know that things exist, that things happen, because God allows it. Some of that I understand, a lot of it I don't. But you see here in our scripture, we find that God chooses to conceal things, for ultimately it glorifies his name and becomes the great benefit and blessing to man. God veils things for his glory that man may seek life in him. The veiled mysteries of God inspire his glory because we recognize the superiority of God. God is above and beyond the thoughts of man. He's greater than man's capacity of understanding. He's greater than man's imagination. God is not confined to the limitations of man's world, to man's wisdom, to man's reason, and even to man's nature. God is greater than all things, and with God all things are possible. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. God knows everything. God is able to do all things, and God is self-sufficient. God is free, and the mysteries of God reveal His glory. As I look to the Scriptures, not only by revealing these things, does God impress upon the mind of man of the great separation between the mighty wisdom of God and lowly creatures. But we find here also that God veils many of the mysteries to inspire man's submission. Not only, listen, to bring forth a confession of the fact that God is superior, but also to inspire man's submission to Him. You remember when Paul came to Athens, you remember what was the characteristic of Athens? They were a bunch of thinkers, right? You remember Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all those figures. And all the great philosophers of ancient Greece. It was known, listen, for its wisdom, for its counsel, for its philosophy of life, for human existence, for human purpose. And when Paul came there, he found of their great superstitions and their worship of the unknown God. And Paul said, "The God that made the world, all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." The greatness and glory and mystery of God teaches you that He cannot be confined in your little temple, nor in the resources of your little mind. And certainly not confined by the formulation, of what you have contrived Him to be. You see, God is glorified because man is not able to put Him in a little box and is not able to explain Him and confine Him and reduce Him. God has veiled many things so that you and I stand in awe of Him, for His greatness exceeds anything we've ever comprehended. That leads man to understand that God is far superior. It leads man and inspires him to submit himself to God. For Paul goes on to say, listen, that He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. God is free. Man is bound. And if a man wants freedom, he's going to have to submit himself and find it in God. Only God can grant this freedom. You say the bounds and habitations, the bounds of habitation and the limitations of man's life, God placed there. God is not bound. God is free. God is free from all things tonight that you and I are oppressed with. Right? Sure. Some of us are oppressed tonight. Why? Because these bodies, they're wearing out. We get frustrated and aggravated because the mind won't do what it's supposed to do. Can't get the leg to do what it's supposed to do. Can't get the arm to function. God's free from that. You and I, and we could go on and on tonight, you understand, listen, our boundaries, our limitations, but listen, God is free from them all. And here He said that God has permitted those things, and God has showed the contrast of the glory of His existence, of His liberty, of His freedom, of His life, of His glory. All of that God has revealed to men who struggle, to men who face their crisis, to men, listen, who struggle with their limitations, listen, are confronted every day with all these kind of things, that we might submit ourselves and seek the Lord God. For there are things I cannot change, things I cannot do, but God is not bound to them. And listen, I come to Him and ask God for liberty. Ask God for strength I don't have. Ask God for wisdom I don't have. Ask God for instruction I don't have. I ask God for miracles I can't perform. I ask God for help that I cannot do myself. And so God, listen, has concealed and veiled much from man. And listen, it brings man to that place of submission to God. God is glorified as man is confronted with what a vast difference there is between human life and human wisdom and human resource and the Almighty God. James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What resources man has in God. What resources? I remind you, the Bible said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. God delights to make available His resources, His strength, His power, His wisdom. And He looks around the earth to somebody to give it to. What an amazing scripture. The Bible said, Psalm 86:5, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon Thee. The Bible says, of course, in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What resources that are available to us? And we find that the veiled mysteries of God call men to saving faith. Faith. We mentioned in the introduction that God has chosen for us the perfect design of faith in Him. Faith in Christ. You know why? Because you know what? If God did not meet us at the place of faith, then the alternative is to meet us at the place of force. God, listen, you know what He could do tonight? He could do according to His design and purpose by force. Right? He could. Now listen, you take the meanest and vilest offender tonight, the hardest hearted person you ever met. If God wanted to by force, He could bring that man to his knees. Right? Tie him on a rope, send him to hell, about 10 seconds, bring him back up. God do it by force. But you know what God has chosen to do? God has chosen to give man a free will. And if we mention that faith glorifies God, faith as it glorifies God is because we are not forced. Faith brings glory to the one to whom we have chosen to love and adore and to trust. I've used the illustration many times, can't think of a better one. There's no glory in marriage unless the person has chosen you over all others. If they stand there because Grandpa said, honey, if you don't marry that boy, I'm going to blow his brains out. Or if you come to the altar and your best man has a gun in your rib, and the preacher says, will you take this one? And you mumble. And all of a sudden, folks go, I will. You know what? There's no glory in that because you were forced to make the choice. The glory of it is I've got her so snowed that she actually chose to spend the rest of her life with me. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes you can tell. And sometimes you have thought and ask yourself the question, what in the world did she see in him? And sometimes we might reverse it. What in the world did he see in her? I tell you, isn't that amazing? But you made the choice of your own free will. And that's what was glorious. That was glory. That's the glory, the wonder of it. Is you didn't have to, but you chose to. God could have done all things by force, but He's not glorified. He's glorified when you choose to put your trust in Him. He's glorified when you choose to love Him. And so God set forth a plan, not to force these issues, but to give a true heart a desire to know the Lord by faith. Faith, listen, also is that which separates the wheat from the tares. There are so many stories in the Scriptures I don't have time for. But in John chapter 6, Jesus had fed the 5,000 and they followed Him the next day. Jesus looked upon the multitude and listen, He confronted them with these words. He said, "You followed Me," I'm paraphrasing, "You followed Me not because you saw the miracle, but because I fed your belly." In other words, you did not contemplate the power by which that multitude was fed. What Jesus was saying is they did not believe Him as the Messiah, the Son of God. They just came because they got free handouts. Do you know what? There are many people who claim the name of Jesus and many people who begin with excitement to follow Him. Listen, because they're hoping that through Jesus He will feed the lust of their flesh. The most popular movement in our society today is the prosperity gospel. That is, listen, I'm a follower of Jesus because I'm hoping one day He'll help me to be materially wealthy. It is simply, a follower of Jesus that we might lavish the desires of the flesh, and there are many that way. But they are not the true ones. Jesus spoke many times by parables. That is, that these great truths of heaven were veiled sometimes in the teaching of the parable. Remember, the disciples would inquire about the parable, and when Jesus sat down with the disciples, those who really followed Him, those who believed in Him, He would explain the meaning of the parable. You know why? Jesus was not going to satisfy the simple curiosity and the speculation of those who did not believe that He was indeed the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. You see, when you accept light from God, then He will lead you to greater light. If you don't accept Genesis 1:1, then there's not much hope for you in receiving anything else. And so we find that the Lord to mask and to conceal and to hide many things. And matter of fact, the Lord Jesus made that statement in the Scriptures as well when they began to inquire of Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ began, to veil those things that they did not understand. And matter of fact, He quoted from Isaiah when the prophecy was that He had blinded their eyes, that they did not see that they should be converted. It wasn't that God designed for them not to be converted. It's the fact that they were offended by Him. And their blindness is because He had been rejected. And despite all the miracles He performed, they would not believe in Him. Their blindness was not something God did to them. Their blindness is something they did to themselves because they had conceived of a Messiah in their mind and Jesus did not fit their mold. And no matter how many miracles He did, He was still rejected. Though the divine knowledge that was given them, the answers and fulfillment of all prophecies, and yet they would not receive Him. They rejected Him because they had in their own mind who the Messiah was and what He's going to do and what He would accomplish. Since He didn't fit into the mold of their understanding, they rejected Him and would not believe. You see, we find it illustrated that faith serves a purpose. To word out or to weed out the speculation and the curiosity of seekers. But those who begin to seek the Lord, those who have ears to hear, they begin to inquire, they begin to seek out, they begin, listen, to look into. And Jesus had mentioned to that crowd, search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. There are many casual observers. There are many people who walk by, listen, with speculation. Many come doubtful just to stop and listen to satisfy their curiosity. But listen, when God calls and leads a man through the truth that's been revealed, it's because the man's heart has been made right and he begins to seek out the Lord God. You know what? It's illustrated for us. The Bible says in Revelation 27 that when the 1,000 years of Christ's reign have expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. The Bible says, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are on the four quarters of the earth, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and then the beloved city and fire came from heaven, out of heaven and devoured them. You know what happened? During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be no disobedience. He will rule with that scepter, with the rod of iron. There will be no disobedience. However, that doesn't mean everybody's heart is right. And so you know what God does? God, in His permissive sovereignty, allows Satan to be loosed after the 1,000 years of perfect obedience. Guess what happens? It separates the wheat from the tares. Those that obeyed simply by force were deceived, and like a giant magnet, they went straight to Satan to follow him. You know what God was doing? God was cleaning house. You know what faith does? It cleans house. It cleans the house. You see, those who come to God by faith are those who have truly believed in Him. And those who are compelled by force did not believe in Him at all. And so listen, though there is great mystery concerning the matter, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, that God has chosen to conceal these things. Why? Because it draws the heart of truth unto Him. Those, listen, who have the good soil that the seed can be planted and bear fruit for God, it will flourish by faith, but it simply will remove those who do not believe in Him and will not receive Him, but have rejected Him. And so, listen, God has a reason. God has a great design, because God is not interested in simply a people who have believed by force, but a people who have believed on Him by faith. Because only by faith can we obtain the righteousness that is required. For when you put faith in Him, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us by faith. It cannot come by force. I can make somebody do something, but I can't make them want to do it. Right? Only God can make you want to do it. I can force people, and you can force people to respect you and to comply with your commands. I don't have the power to make them want to do it. I can't make them truly honor me in their heart. I can't make them serve me in their heart. I can't make them love me in their heart. But by God's divine plan of faith, that's exactly what takes place. You know what? I'm here tonight. Nobody made me come. I came because God gave me a want to that I didn't have. That's the reason God, in His perfect plan, not only conceals matters, but also has chosen to reach man by faith that He might save him and change him and make him and give him those desires for things that are right, good,